This morning, please take your Bible and open to the Gospel of John, chapter 14, verses 15 through 18. John chapter 14, verses 15 through 18. That'll be our text verses to get started this morning. We're continuing our series on the Holy Spirit. So far, we've looked at some of the names or titles or terms that refer to the Holy Spirit. We also spent some time and looked at to whom is the Holy Spirit given. Last couple of weeks, we have looked at the Holy Spirit as a person, not just a force, but a person. In the message today, and it'll probably take me two Sundays to get through everything that I have here, we're going to talk about the deity of the Holy Spirit. Because it is true that he is a person, but he is also God. He is divine. He is a member of the Trinity, as I'm sure you all are aware. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So today and most likely next Sunday, we'll talk about the deity of the Holy Spirit. I want you to notice John chapter 14, verses 15 to 18 says this, "If ye love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you." I realize I've mentioned this a couple of times, perhaps, but I want to mention it again this morning. In verse number 16, where it says, "He shall give you another comforter." The word "another" is a word that, in the Greek language anyway, the word that's translated here, "another," means another of the same kind, or one just like myself. Jesus is the one speaking these words to his disciples, and he's telling them that he's going to send them the Comforter, whom we know as the Holy Spirit. He's another one just like me. He's just like myself. And that's one of the reasons why I chose this passage to start with. Because we're talking about the Holy Spirit as deity. He is part of the Trinity. He's part of the divine tripartite God that we serve, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So let's pray together, and then we'll look at some of the things that I have written down here. Lord, we love you, and we thank you so much for your word. We have a lot of verses to look at and to get through, and I pray that each one of us will have open ears and receptive hearts to hear what's being said today. We want very much for each one of us to come to know the Holy Spirit better, to love him, to appreciate him, to walk with him each and every day, to allow him to guide us and direct our steps, to depend on him. So I pray that you'll help me today as I speak, Lord. Give me wisdom to know what to say, and may all of us listen very carefully and hear what you have for us. For we pray in Jesus' name, amen. As I go through the notes that I prepared for this part of our study, we're going to talk about three main things. Now, there's many verses I'm going to give you, but first we're going to talk about the fact that he is spoken of, again, he being the Holy Spirit, he is spoken of as equal to the Father and the Son. Secondly, we're going to talk about the fact that he has divine characteristics. And thirdly, we're going to talk about he has divine works to his credit. So those are the three main points in this particular outline. I'm not sure exactly how far we'll get today, but we'll go as far as we can. When time runs out, we'll save the rest for next Sunday, okay? Well, we're going to start out with the fact that he is spoken of as equal to the Father and the Son. And the passage that I want to read for you right here is Matthew 28, verse 19. Matthew 28, verse 19 says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost." A passage that I'm sure most all of you are familiar with, and Jesus had given his disciples the instructions to go out and witness and tell the good news, the gospel, to all those who will listen. And as you go, there are some folks that are going to get saved. And when they get saved, I'd like for you to baptize them. And did you catch this? Baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. All three of them mentioned as members of the Trinity, all three of them mentioned as God. It's very important that we realize who this person is, the Holy Spirit of God. He is divine. He is God. The verse that I started out with, John 14, verse 16, "And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever." The word "another," that word means another just like me, another one just like myself, another one who's equal with the Father and the Son. He is the Holy Spirit of God. He is the Comforter. Another passage that I have written down here, Acts chapter 5, verse 3 and 4. "But Peter said, Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie," please hear this now, "to lie to the Holy Ghost, and to keep back part of the price of the land? While it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart?" Here it comes. "Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God." Earlier he said they lied to the Holy Ghost. That's the Holy Spirit. That's the Comforter. Near the end of the passage he said, "You lied to God." These are all verses proving that the Holy Spirit is divine. He's a part of the Trinity. He's part of the deity. He is God, all right? Romans chapter 8, verse 15 is another passage. It says, "For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father." By the Spirit of God, we cry, Abba, Father. God the Holy Spirit moving in our heart, speaking to our heart, impressing things upon our heart. God leading us and directing us. And because he is there, because he is doing that, we cry, Abba, Father. Here, this verse is equating God the Holy Spirit with God the Father. I mentioned this a couple of times already, and I mentioned it again this morning. A couple of different times in the last several weeks, people have asked me, is it okay to pray to the Holy Spirit? And I said, yes. He's a part of the Trinity. He's a part of God. He is God. And you can cry out to him and call out to him just like you can to the Son, just like you can to the Father. And by the way, God will hear and God will answer because God the Holy Spirit is God. All right? So, another verse, 1 Corinthians 6, 11. "And such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." Washed, sanctified, justified. You notice this, in the name of the Lord Jesus, and then also by the Spirit of God. See again how God is, in his word, equating the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit as equal with one another. They're all equal in their positions. Now they have different responsibilities and different ways in which they minister to people like you and I, but they're all equal with one another. Another passage, 2 Corinthians 13, 14. "The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen." Now, in this verse, you have all three persons of the Trinity mentioned. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, there's the Son. And the love of God, there's the Father. And the communion of the Holy Ghost, there's the Holy Spirit. All three of them mentioned in one verse. And you can see many passages like these. These are just a few. Matthew 28, 19, John 14, 16, Acts 5, verses 3 and 4, Romans 8, 15, 1 Corinthians 6, 11, 2 Corinthians 13, 14. And again, just a myriad of other verses equate the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit all equal with one another. So I want you to know this very first thought in the outline. He is spoken of as equal to the Father and the Son. You should know that when God the Holy Spirit moves on your heart, that's God moving in your heart. You should know when you hear that, as it were, still small voice that's trying to direct your steps, That's God talking to you. You should know that when you pray, and if you ever do, pray and ask the Holy Spirit to help you with something. I tend to do this every time I'm getting ready for the sermons, you know, on Sunday morning or Sunday night or Wednesday night, or even as I'm preparing notes and studying and so forth, I pray and ask the Holy Spirit to help me. You should know that when you pray and when you talk to Him, you're talking to God. You're talking to God, and He is there to listen and hear what you have to say. So, number one, He is spoken of as equal to the Father and the Son. The second thought in this long outline is the fact that He has divine characteristics. God the Holy Spirit has divine characteristics. Listen, if you would, to this passage. 1 Corinthians 2, verses 10 and 11. 1 Corinthians 2, verses 10 and 11. But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now here's what I learned from this passage, 1 Corinthians 2, verses 10 and 11. And that is that the Holy Spirit is omniscient. Omniscient. The word omniscient just means that He knows everything. There's nothing that ever He doesn't know. There's nothing that's ever a surprise to Him. Never, ever, ever did it happen that the Holy Spirit said, oh, well, look at that. It's like somebody said very well one time many, many years ago, did it ever occur to you that nothing ever occurs to God? He knows everything. God the Holy Spirit, who is equal with the Father and the Son, is omniscient. You notice this verse again says that the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God is omniscient, and He knows all things. Can I suggest to you this morning this thought? When you're reading the Bible and you come across a passage that you're not quite sure what it means, ask the Holy Spirit to help you. Ask the Holy Spirit to help you. He knows what it says. He knows what it means. He knows what He wants you to know and when. Sometimes we come across passages that at this particular date in our life's history, we don't understand and know. And sometime later down the road, all of a sudden, God the Holy Spirit helps us to see it and understand it. But it's not wrong to ask Him, show me, Lord. Holy Spirit, help me to understand this passage. I can tell you this, when I'm putting thoughts together, and especially some of the studies that we're doing, like 1 Kings or Jeremiah or 2 Corinthians or even for this message here, I pray and ask the Holy Spirit to help me to understand what a specific passage is talking about or what the chapter is dealing with or how can I relay this to the people. And then, Lord, please help me as I deliver it so that they can receive what You have for them from that passage. Why? Because He's omniscient. He knows all these things. There was a time in my life, and probably your life as well, where you were not the person that you are today. There was a time in your life when you were not married to the person that you're married to today. There was a time in your life when you were not in the church that you are in today. There was a time in your life when you didn't live in the house that you live in today. I could give a lot of examples like this. There was a time when whatever amount of things I mentioned were true. You did not have that house, you didn't have that car, you didn't have that mate, you didn't have that job, you were not in the church. There was a time when those things were all true. And you know, even back then, God the Holy Spirit knew that you would have all those things one day. God the Holy Spirit knew that you'd be here this morning. God the Holy Spirit knew that you'd have the mate that you have. God the Holy Spirit knew that you'd have the job that you have. In fact, I'll get even a little bit more personal here. He even knew in advance you'd be wearing what you're wearing today. How can you say that? Because he's omniscient. He knows all things. He already knows what's going to happen tomorrow. Now, you and I don't, but he does. And that's a good reason why we need to become close companions with him and allow him to lead and direct our steps, because God the Holy Spirit knows what's going to happen tomorrow. There's many songs been written about the fact that God is already there. And he is already there. He already knows what's going to happen. It's so silly for us, and I'm guilty of this as much as anybody, but it's so silly for us to worry about things that are going to happen when we can't control it, and worrying doesn't ever change anything. And God's already there, and he already knows. I mean, we're so silly to worry about those things, aren't we? And yet, I'm guessing that most all of us will worry about something after we just heard what we just heard. And I include myself. It's just human nature. It's what we do. We tend to want to have control of things. We tend to want to know what's going to happen, where and when and how and all that. But there's so many of those things that are beyond our control. And what you and I need to do is learn to trust the Holy Spirit to guide us and direct us and to help us. And when we get to those points in life, trust him to see us through those times. He will. I promise you he will. He knows already in advance. He is omniscient. He also is, by the way, kind of goes along with what I was just talking about, he is also omnipresent. Here's a verse for you. Psalm 139, verse 7. Psalm 139, verse 7. Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? Now, if you were to read all the verses in that psalm, Psalm 139, verse 7, verses before and after, you would find out that, you know, the writer, who I think, if I remember it right, was King David, said, if I go here, you're already there. If I go there, you're already there. You know, it's the idea, where can I go that you are not? Well, there is no such place. Because God the Holy Spirit is everywhere. He's everywhere. By the way, for you and I as a believer, one of the most precious thoughts about him being everywhere is he is also within us. He is within us. So naturally, when I go from here to my office, he goes along. When I go from here to my house, he goes along. If I go from here to the hospital to visit somebody, he goes along. Everywhere I go, he not only goes with me, but he's already there as well. He's omnipresent. There's no place you can go where he is not. Now, that should bring us some comfort, don't you think? I go through situations sometimes, as you do, and there are things sometimes that surprise me, just like there are things that surprise you, and there are times where I get myself or find myself in a situation where I'm not sure, you know, what I should do next or what my next step should be. But it's comforting to know that the Holy Spirit of God is also there, and he will guide me and he will direct me. Because he's omnipresent. Not only is he omniscient, knowing all things, he's omnipresent. He's everywhere. Everywhere I go, he is. And there's no place that he is not. So, I'm here, and I've been here in Stoughton now for the last number of years. But when I was pastoring in Texas, he was there as well. And before that, when I was in Appleton, Wisconsin, he was there as well. And when I was in Valparaiso, Indiana, he was there as well. And when I take a trip, or when you take a trip and you go on vacation, there's no place you go that he's not. He's omnipresent. He's not only omniscient and omnipresent, but he's also omnipotent. Omnipotent. Here's a verse, Genesis chapter 1, verse 2. Genesis chapter 1, verse 2. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. Here it is. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. The Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. When the earth was being created, guess who was there? The Holy Spirit of God was there. And he was helping to form and make the earth. Why? Because he's omnipotent. He is omnipotent. We talked a little bit this morning in the adult Sunday school class about an example from the Old Testament when Moses was leading the children of Israel out of Egypt, and God led them with Moses, led them right to the Red Sea, and Pharaoh changed his mind and decided to go after them, and so his soldiers came after them, and the soldiers are coming up from behind, and the children of Israel are right at the borders of the Red Sea, and they're nervous and panicking a little bit, and God told Moses, hold up your staff into the air and tell the people, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And at that time, the waters just stood up on end, and the children of Israel were allowed to walk across on dry ground. And once they all got across, then the Egyptians tried to follow them, but the waters came in upon them, and they all drowned in the Red Sea. Why did that happen? Because God the Holy Spirit was there. And God the Holy Spirit is omnipotent. And he's the one that caused the waters to stand up on end. And he's the one that caused them to be able to walk across on dry ground. And he's the one that caused the waters to come back upon the Egyptians so that they all drowned. God is the one who did that. As the children of Israel walked across the wilderness, God provided manna for them in the wilderness. God also provided quail in the wilderness. How did that happen? God, the Holy Spirit, who is omnipotent, provided all those things. Elijah, we're studying Elijah a little bit in 1 Kings. We're introduced to him in the chapter that we're in right now, chapter 17. And in a little while, we're going to find out that the day comes when Elijah is going to pass off the scene and Elisha is going to take his place. And Elijah is taken up into heaven by the Lord, and then Elisha is anointed from God to carry on the ministry. Who does that? God the Holy Spirit does that. He's omnipotent, and he causes those things to happen. He is the one who's in control of those kind of things, and he is the one who's powerful enough, please don't miss this, to help you in whatever it is that you have to deal with. Sometimes you and I will face things and we're not sure how it's all going to work out. Sometimes you're going to face times like that. Isn't it good to know that the Holy Spirit, who is omnipotent and is always with you, is going to walk with you through those times? I don't know where we'd be without him. I really don't. I'm so glad. Many of you know, of course, that November of 2024, I had a heart attack and I had open heart surgery, and I was a little bit anxious about that whole deal. But it sure is good to know that the Holy Spirit was in that operating room with me and brought me through that okay. I'm still here standing. I'm still preaching. I'm still alive. I'm not perfect. I know that. I've got some years on me, got a little bit of mileage on me, but I'm still here. And I'm still doing what God's called me to do. God the Holy Spirit helping to make all that possible. See, we all have to face times like that. And it could be the death of a loved one, or it could be the loss of a job, or it could be something else. But always remember that God the Holy Spirit is there. He's with you. And he is omnipotent. And he can help you through whatever issue you have to deal with in your life. So divine characteristics like omniscience and omnipresence and omnipotence. He is also, by the way, did you know this? God the Holy Spirit is full of truth. Full of truth. 1 John chapter 5, verse 6. 1 John chapter 5, verse 6 says this. This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. The Spirit is truth. You know, the Bible says that God's Word is truth. And it also says here that the Spirit is truth. Isn't it interesting how the Spirit, who is truth, uses the Word that is truth to guide and direct our steps? We would be wise to follow him, don't you think? We would be wise to listen to him. We would be wise to submit ourselves to him. Why? Because he's truth. I've said this to you before, and I say it again this morning. God the Holy Spirit will never, ever lead you to go against the Bible. Nope, he won't do that. He won't do that. I've heard some people say sometimes that they were believing that God, the Holy Spirit, was leading them to go against what the Bible says. Well, I really think the Spirit of God wants me to do this. And yet there's verses in the scripture that say, no, you shouldn't. God, the Holy Spirit, doesn't lead you that way. In fact, what he will do, he will lead you in paths that line up with the Word of God. Exactly what the Word of God says. Exactly what God the Holy Spirit wants you to do will always line up with what the Word of God says. Why? Because he's full of truth. He'll never lie to you. He'll never shade the truth. He'll never lead you in a path that's not according to God's will and God's ways. He'll never do that because he is full of truth. Sometimes in looking at God's Word and studying God's Word, you might come across a passage. I mentioned this just a couple of moments ago. You might come across a passage that you don't quite understand. God, the Holy Spirit, knows what it says, and he knows what it means, and he'll help you and guide you in that. But always know that he'll not lie to you about it. He'll not lie to you about it. Sometimes people will ask me questions, and they'll say, well, Pastor so-and-so, a friend of mine, or a neighbor of mine, or acquaintance of mine, or someone that I know, believes this about what this, you know, the Bible teaches on a certain subject. And then you go to the Word of God, and what the Word of God says goes totally against what that other person believes. Well, guess what? God's not lying. But that person might be lying, or they might just be deceived. They might have been taught wrong. See, God the Holy Spirit doesn't lie. He is full of truth. And if you want to know truth, then you need to listen to him, and of course you need to listen to what the Word of God says. Divine characteristics. He is omniscient, he is omnipresent, he is omnipotent, he is full of truth. Here's another one. He's full of holiness. He's full of holiness. Now here's just one verse, but I think you'd agree with me. There's many, many, many times in the Bible where the Bible describes the Holy Spirit exactly that way. The Holy Spirit. This is just one example. Luke 11:13. If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Now, I didn't take the time to look this up, but I'm certain that if you were to take a concordance and look up how many times the Holy Spirit is referred to as the Holy Spirit, it'd be a myriad of times. Old and New Testament, you'd probably find it, I'm sure. Holy Spirit. Why is he so often referred to as Holy Spirit or Holy Ghost? Shouldn't the emphasis be on the word holy? You know, you've heard this said before. If God mentions it once, it ought to be listened to. If he mentions it more than once, you really ought to pay attention to it. Well, if he mentions it a myriad of times, I wonder if the word holy is important. Now, just think about this. If you trusted Christ as your Savior and the Holy Spirit moved inside, took up residence inside of you, should that change how we live? Should that change how we react? Should that change where we go? Should that change how we dress? Should that change what we listen to? Should that change the friends that we have? I mean, there's a lot of examples here, isn't there? The Holy Spirit is living inside of me. So if the Holy Spirit is living inside of me, I would think that some of that holiness should be evident in my life. One of the reasons why we don't do some of the things we used to do is because the Holy Spirit lives inside. We don't go to some of those places we used to go. Sarah's glad for this. I don't date some of the girls I used to date. I only date her. and have for all these years. But you get my point, you know. You don't go to the places you used to go. You don't date the women you used to date. You don't say the things you used to say. Some of those words that, you know, used to just kind of flow off our tongue, we don't say those words anymore. Why? Because the Holy Spirit of God lives inside. Now, not only the things that we used to do that we shouldn't do, okay, but how about the new things that we do now that we didn't used to do? You know, I go to church a whole lot more now than I used to. Well, you say, you should, you're the pastor. And that's true. But I did this before I became a pastor. I'm talking about since I got saved, you know, because the Holy Spirit lives inside. See, I would go to church even if I wasn't the pastor, because the Holy Spirit lives inside. I read the Bible a whole lot more than I used to. Did we read it this morning before we came to church?
Yes.
We did, didn't we? And we prayed together too, didn't we?
Amen.
Sure. It's a habit. That's kind of what we do. That's who we are. But see, the Holy Spirit lives inside, and He's helping us to do that. We give to the Lord's work a whole lot more than we used to. Again, the Holy Spirit gets the credit for that. See? And you know, you dress different. You have different friends. You do different things. You go different places. Your life has changed. You know, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature, the Bible says. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Why? Because the Holy Spirit lives inside. See? The Holy Spirit lives inside. Now, I don't want you to get me wrong about you or about me. That doesn't mean we're going to be perfect. Nope. None of us. Not the man behind the pulpit, not the person in the pew. We're not going to be perfect. You know why? Because we're still sinners. We're still human beings. We still have a tendency to do the wrong thing. Sometimes we do the selfish thing. Sometimes we want to have our own way. But because God the Holy Spirit lives inside, He changes us. And He makes us a new person. And not only do we not do some of the things we used to do, we also do some other things that we didn't used to do. Some good things. Some holy things. Some righteous things. You know, I was thinking about this too, and I don't know about the rest of you, but I've got this smartphone. Have you ever noticed that a smartphone can make a human being pretty dumb? Yes, it can. I'm living proof of that. But I depend on my cell phone a lot. I have lists in here. I have, you know, to-do things, to-do lists in here, and things I want to remember, and phone numbers, of course, and a calendar. I use that calendar, I'm sure, every day. And of course, I have the Bible on here. But I was going to say also, I have Christian music on here. And this is where I was going with this. I have Christian music on here that's so different than the music I used to listen to. Anybody here know the group? And I hope you don't know it too well. But anybody here know the group called Black Sabbath? Okay, some of you know of it. I hope none of you have any of their music today. But they used to be one of my favorite groups. And they are satanic, really. I mean, that's devilish, for sure. But after I got saved and after the Holy Spirit came to move inside, that's one of the things that changed in my life. I got rid of that music. Now, this is really strange to me. How is it that we have such a hard time memorizing Bible verses? But we walk into a store where a certain song is playing that we knew from our past, and automatically we can sing right along with it. Why is that? Well, we'll save that for a whole nother series, okay? That's not the Holy Spirit helping you, okay? That's another spirit helping you. But I just want you, there's a whole different kind of music on my phone. You know, music that uplifts the Lord and praises God and worships Him. And I don't have any of that other stuff on here. In fact, you could go through my whole collection at home, and I've got lots of stuff. But none of it is like it used to be. None of it. That's because the Holy Spirit lives inside. See, he is full of holiness. And if he lives in you and if he lives in me, that should change us as well. I've got two other things I want to mention yet this morning, and I think I can get through this. Talking about divine characteristics, he is omniscient, he is omnipresent, he is omnipotent, he's full of truth, he's full of holiness. Did you know, according to God's word, the Holy Spirit is life? He is life. Romans 8, verse 2, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. He's life. For the law of the Spirit of life. Notice he's called here the Spirit of life. He's given me new life. I mentioned before, just briefly a minute ago, about different friends and different places we go and different words and different music and all that kind of stuff. How does that happen? It's because we have new life. It's a new life. You know, the verse I quoted, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. It doesn't mean we're perfect, but my, how things have changed. My, how things have changed. It's a whole new life. It's a life that came from the Holy Spirit of God who moved inside, who lives inside of me. He's the one who gives me that life. He's the one that, by the way, will be with me throughout all of my earthly life and then with me even in eternal life in heaven. He's never going to leave me. It's going to get better and better and better. We don't have to worry because when this life is over, when we breathe our last breath on earth, our next breath is taken in heaven. Nothing to worry about there, huh? I appreciate what your husband, George, used to say. I'm not afraid of going to heaven, but it's just that transition in between. Well, I got to be honest, that's kind of what I think about when I think about dying, that transition time. I know where I'm going. And I know I'm going to spend eternity in heaven with the Lord and with George and with others from our church family who are already there. But it's that transition. It's that in-between. Wouldn't you rather see the upper-taker than the undertaker? I would. I'd rather the Lord come back and just rapture us off this earth just right now. That'd be a whole lot better. But whatever way death comes, whether it's by the rapture or just by death, we know where we're going. And the Spirit of God will be with us through it all. And I have an idea that it's like the Bible describes it, you know, kind of going to sleep. And of course, you immediately wake up in heaven and there you are. What a beautiful thought that is. But the Spirit of life, we have that because of the Spirit of God who lives within us. And by the way, this verse also says, he has made us free from the law of sin and death. See, it's a life. It's the Spirit of life that makes me free from the law of sin and death. One more thought real quickly, and then we'll close this out. He is also wisdom. We're talking about divine characteristics like omniscience and omnipresence and omnipotence, full of truth, full of holiness. He is life. He is also wisdom. Isaiah 40, verse 13 says this. Isaiah 40, verse 13. Who hath directed the Spirit of the Lord, or being his counselor, hath taught him? Well, he doesn't need a counselor. He is the counselor. Amen? The Holy Spirit of God is the counselor. No one directs the Spirit of the Lord. No one counsels the Spirit of the Lord. Why? Because he is wisdom. When you have him, you have wisdom. When he lives within you, you have wisdom. And God, the Holy Spirit, will guide you, just like the Bible says. We looked at it in a recent message. He will guide you into all truth. He will guide you into all truth. He is wisdom. So this morning, we're talking about the deity of the Holy Spirit. He is spoken of as equal to the Father and the Son in Matthew 28, John 14, Acts 5, Romans 8, 1 Corinthians 6, 2 Corinthians 13. He also has divine characteristics like omniscience and omnipresence, omnipotence. He's full of truth. He's full of holiness. He is life. He is wisdom. Next Sunday, when we get back together, I want to talk to you about some of his divine works. Some of the divine works of the Holy Spirit of God. I don't know what you think, but I'm really coming to not only understand him and know him better, but appreciate him more and more. The Holy Spirit of God. He's my constant companion and friend. He is that friend that sticketh closer than a brother. He guides me and directs me. He orders my steps. He helps me through the difficult times in life. He speaks to me as I read the Bible. He even speaks to me and helps me when I'm praying. I'm very, very thankful that when I stand up like this to deliver a message or a lesson from God's Word, God the Holy Spirit helps me. There have been times, and unless you've ever done it and experienced what I'm describing right now, you probably wouldn't understand it, but there are times when I have stood to declare God's Word and deliver a message that I can't get the thoughts out quick enough. God, the Holy Spirit, just bringing things to mind and helping me, and it flows. Now, I must say and admit that there have been times when it was like, you know, trudging through clay, and it was hard, at least it seemed that way to me. But I love those times when you stand up to speak for the Lord and the thoughts just flow. They just flow. That's all I can describe. God, the Holy Spirit, helping. What a great, great, precious friend he is. I want you to love him. I want you to know him. I want you to depend on him. And I want you to walk through life with him. And one day, isn't this exciting to think? We're going to see God face to face. What an amazing time that's going to be. When you see him face to face, how well will you know him? Let's pray together. Father, thank you for this wonderful, wonderful person called the Holy Spirit of God, who lives within us once we trust Jesus as our personal Savior, who guides us and directs us, orders our steps, teaches us your word, guides us into all truth, helps us when we pray. So many other things we've talked about already. Next week we'll talk about a few more concerning his divine works. But I just want to say on behalf of all of us today, thank you for the Holy Spirit. Thank you for that friend that sticks closer than a brother. Help us, Lord, to put forth the effort to get to know him, to listen to him, to love him, to appreciate him, to walk with him each and every day. Bless the invitation now. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.